I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery here. I keep laughing about, I don't know why, I just do.
But sounds like you got the spirit of the old Christmas going on.
I got something going on. You know, Bill Riley, in the last segment, we were talking about the backup quarterback from Oregon State, right? And I just couldn't help but think. So, you know, Chance Nolan, right, is his name. And I couldn't help but think, what a story he's going to have to tell his grandkids. Like when he gets older, because yeah. I tell stories about when I played.
Oh boy, do you?
And I've actually found, Alex, that I'm lying. I didn't think I was lying, but I have exaggerated.
Right? No, no.
I have exaggerated
my
stories.
You're not being a bad person. I listened to a fascinating podcast. I think it was about this very thing, and it was about how we remember history and how we're convinced that it went one way. And it's not because, and listen, it might be attributed a little bit to the knocks on the head for you from the NFL, but it's really just about how we picture how it went. And sometimes, and it's not necessarily, look, you might think of like your uncle who's got that one story that always improves over time.
Right.
But I remember for you, it was the shocking moment that you had was that you had beaten Wisconsin a certain score.
17-14. I've thought that for years.
What was the actual final?
31-21. I mean, I exaggerated in the wrong direction. Yeah.
But maybe it made the story more interesting that you guys won by just a field goal, which is weird because
we still won by a field goal because 31-28.
Oh, I thought you said 21. You said 31-21.
Sorry.
No, but I'm saying, I mean, look.
See, there I go again.
Give yourself some more
credit. There I go again.
Give yourself some more credit. You guys scored way more points against a very stout Wisconsin team.
You know the one score I don't ever forget?
What is it?
57-28. And if I said
I'm not familiar with that. Was that with the Lions when you beat a team? Or?
No, let me just tell you. Any Utah fan, if you said that, BYU, 1988.
There are certain numbers that
they just know that number.
There are certain numbers that BYU fans remember very, very well, and hit us with a text. I'm trying to think the most iconic scores that you can just say, and they mean something in that BYU Utah rivalry. It's 34. What is it, the 34-31?
No,
I know it's that one. But there's the 34-31 that always there was a couple of years in a row. I think there was
right.
But numbers like the 54-10 of more recent years that was an absolute heartbreaker for BYU fans. I'm trying to remember. I know the 21-14 win over Miami, or is it 21-see again? That's bad. You can't remember it. But I just the numbers are there where you start to go, I remember that score. I remember the 46-10 Super Bowl 20 score. That was the very first Super Bowl I remember as a kid. Partly was because we'd rewatch it on the same videotape that we had Mr. Mom. So when Mr. Mom got over, you remember when you used to watch
Mr.
movies?
Mom.
And then it would roll just into the next thing.
Whatever it takes,
it would roll into the next thing.
Right.
Whatever you had recorded on. I'd go, oh, right. I'm watching that Super Bowl 20 again. So, and you'd watch the old commercials and you'd try to fast forward through them. I'm telling you now, don't fast forward through those commercials. They're hilarious to watch. So. The memory thing is really funny about what we do and don't remember.
Well, Chance Nolan, the quarterback, the backup at Oregon State, it's going to be like the game. It was snowing, right?
And it kind of was. It was like barely.
And it's like, and it was the vaunted Oregon team who was in the college football playoffs. They
discussion.
Were ranked in the top five in the country, and,
sure,
and they were so good at that time. And I didn't, And he will have a story to tell,
right.
And it will be
his leg snapped in two. I could hear it from the sidelines, and then they said Nolan, and I went in there, and I jumped over the entire line, and the football hit the crossbar on the goalpost. That's how far I jumped. There's all sorts of things you can make up, but the reality is, and you've always said this too, there's something that you can't take away from this guy. He went in and scored the winning touchdown in the Oregon State football game, and they don't call it the Civil War anymore, but they it is still the biggest. It's the biggest arch rival that they have, and it's pretty cool. Now, what's that going to do for this weekend? I'm just glad Oregon State. I like when teams turn it around, and I like when teams get better. You know what I mean? I don't like teams being Kansas.
Well, I like them getting better after they play your team, though.
Okay, you don't want to see them get better this week, I guess. But
no.
But do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's not fun to have, and it's not good for the Pac-12 to have Oregon State be the doormat every year to the conference. You want them getting better because you want to get better recruits. You want to be able to get them out of that 2-star recruit only kind of situation. It's hard because Corvallis is tough to recruit to compared to some of these other places people could go. So I get what you're saying. When it comes to college football, interesting story popped up today about this. The idea in USA Today, there's this commission that put together. The Knight Commission actually recommended that the FBS football, that the main division of college football, which is what we watch from week to week, the non-FCS teams, but all your Power 5 conference, all your G5s, all of the, the 114 teams or whatever it is that are in FBS level football, that a certain number of those teams, it would be better for them to break away from the NCAA for all sorts of reasons, Scott. And part of that is that the NCAA doesn't serve a purpose. It already hasn't much for college football as it is. And that the money-making venture that you could get into would be on par with basically competing, kind of disrupting that sports entertainment industry, which it already does. They already entertain people for a certain dollar amount that colleges don't really see that much of compared to networks and things like that. And these athletes certainly don't get. I am in favor of restructuring college football for the sake of getting better entertainment from football. And if that means changing everything of what you think of what college football is, paying the athletes a little something here and there at the biggest schools, the best athletes at those places, the most visible people – I think you do it, and I think it's because these guys are adults, and they're putting their knees on the line, and they are actually trying to go out there and entertain you, and they're trying to make a living out of it. And guess what? Whether or not they get to the NFL or not, I think what you do need to do is at least pay for these guys to get right physically after their careers are over.
I think what is hard about this whole conversation to me is there was something magical about your school, your college, and your football team. And there was this connection, and they've done studies about the heart of universities is this football team. And you go to the games, and you're cheering, and it's exciting, you know, and there's this romance about college football and how it's so tied to the university experience. And a long, long time ago, it got removed from that because it became so popular and it became so valuable. And money really has driven it. I mean, you know, we joked about SMU and you know, the SWAC conference, right? And their slogan was, well, of course we cheat.
Sure we cheat.
and so you have this mindset now that, you know, football is not about the romance of, you know, you think of Notre Dame in the fall and you think of the campus and the leaves falling on the green grass and there's just the tailgating that goes on and the whole experience. And that's what people kind of pull for and want and think that that's what college football is, that it's not about money. It's not about, but it's totally driven about money. And I don't know exactly when that happened. So to hear this and you know, you hear a lot of it and it certainly makes a lot of sense to do it, but it sure feels bad that romance and that romanticism of what college football stood for really is gone.
Well, I mean, even your beloved analogy there of Notre Dame, when it comes to the money-making side of it and the behind the scenes ugly part of that, whatever it might be, Notre Dame is the worst of the offenders.
Well, they're independent because they can make a whole lot of money.
Make that money.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We've got our NFL roundup right around the corner. Scott's got stories. I'm going to make him answer or tell us some of those stories at least. And
I'll probably lie about them.
You might not get the truth and nothing but the truth. We'll come back after news, traffic, and weather. Much more to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. A couple more segments. If you missed anything, go check us out on the podcast. Download it anywhere podcasts are found. Or go to KSLSports.com. You can press the podcast button there. Just listen to the show. Anything you missed. Hear Greg Rebell from tonight. Hear the voice of the Chanticleers also from earlier tonight. Yes, stay right here with us. More to go right around the corner on KSL's Unrivaled.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.